about that tonight. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours.
Mercy has pardoned me. So glad you
found me
and said.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours.
So glad your mercy has pardoned me.
Oh, so glad you found me and you said. So glad I'm yours, Lord. I'm so glad I'm yours.
So glad your mercy has pardoned me.
Yes, sir.
Oh, so glad you found me.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'd rather belong to Him than anything in the world, wouldn't you? Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a big, nice, warm smile, a good, strong handshake. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight.
Boy, it's good to see all of you in church tonight. Play a little bit more of that, if you will.
So glad I'm yours.
So glad your mercy has pardoned me.
Well, I'm so glad you found me
and set me free.
I'm so glad I'm yours. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. If you'll stand with me just for a few minutes, Brother John Horniak, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord tonight in prayer. We'll remember Sarah Cobb tonight in prayer. She's home suffering from back pain, so let's pray for her tonight. Brother Tom Whitson, we'll remember him in prayer. Has a severe case of the flu, so let's pray for Brother Tommy tonight. The Lord would help him. I want to pray for a David Ram Kilan. I hope I got that name close to right. From Tampa, Florida, who had a motorcycle wreck and severed his spine. Please pray for him and salvation for him and his family. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Brother Don Riddlebaugh sends this in to please pray for our family in Beaufort, South Carolina.
My stepfather is passed into glory. Hospice has been at the home since Monday, giving him morphine for pain. So they're asking that we would just remember that prayer request tonight. I want to pray for Brother Chris Miller. He's brother-in-law to Brother Ben Norod. He keeps having severe, rare focal seizures. He is fearful of going to sleep because of them. Pray for his healing, also that they can find a doctor who is familiar with this type of situation that can treat him. Brother Amos sends that in, so let's remember that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Joy Holmquist, who will be having surgery on Friday, so let's remember her. Please remember the family of Barbara Piles, who was found dead this morning. She was the sister of Jaretta Stockton and Yvetta Collins, so let's pray for those folks, that situation, that the Lord would be mindful of them. Brother Al Stevens sends his sin to please pray for a young girl, Nicole Gordon, battling pancreatic cancer. Also, my wife and I adopted two wonderful boys from Russia in 2007 that were under 1 year old. We would love to adopt a daughter now, but need God's leading and his opening of doors to make it possible. So they're asking that we would remember that situation in prayer tonight. Brother Steve Bright sends us in to please pray for his mother, who is suffering with inner ear problems. She loves to read the word of the Lord, but is unable to do this because of nausea caused from her ear situation. So let's pray for her tonight. I want to remember Bill Hartley and family. His wife, Melanie Hartley, passed away suddenly on Sunday night. So they're asking that we would remember that family in prayer as we pray. I want to pray for Brother David Seiler. He flew to South Africa yesterday. He will be gone for 3 weeks. Pray for traveling mercies and for the services that he's going to be having in that part of the world. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Emily Willis wants us to pray for Johnny Potter. He went in the hospital for abnormal heart rate, and they put in a defibrillator today. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Certainly want to continue to pray for Sister Carol Reagan, that the Lord would just understand she's doing really well. But let's just pray that the Lord would bring her along and let her recovery be real, real quick. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Brother John, if you'd come, listen about the presence of the Lord into this service tonight. And we'll take these requests and commit every one of them unto the Lord. You believe he's more than able tonight? Amen. Brother John, God bless you, man. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, it's so good to come into your house, Lord, and feel your anointing, Father God. And Lord, even if we didn't feel it, Lord, we're looking to the promise, Lord, and we know that you said that where two or three were gathered in your name, Lord, you'd be in the midst, Father. And Lord Jesus, we believe that you're right here amongst us, Lord. And Lord, whenever you come amongst us, Lord, we know that there's something special going to happen, Father. And Lord Jesus, we're looking to those promises again for these requests, Lord. Father, we're looking, Lord, and we go down through the list, Lord Jesus, there's many things that look impossible, Father. There's many things, Lord, that the world just scratches their head and they wonder how in the world they're gonna go on and how they're gonna fix this problem or that problem, Lord. Oh, but the great physician now is near. Oh, Lord Jesus, we believe with all our heart that you're more than able, Father. Not only are you more than able, Lord, but you're more than willing, Father God. And you want to heal us. You want to be in our midst. You want to take all our problems, Lord Jesus. You prove that on Calvary, Lord Jesus. And all we need to do, Lord Jesus, is reach up to that old rugged cross, Lord. And even before that, Lord Jesus, you had all these things in your mind, Lord. And you wanted, Lord Jesus, to heal us. And you wanted to be known as a healer, Father. Lord Jesus, there's ample opportunity, Lord. These requests I hold in my hand, Father God. There's ample opportunity for you to prove once again, Lord, that you are a healer. And Father God, for those that are lost, we want you to prove once again that you still are a Savior. And Lord Jesus, those that have lost loved ones, Lord, there's ample opportunity for you to prove that you are a comforter, Lord Jesus. All our needs, Lord Jesus, you promised you would supply. Father, we look, Lord Jesus, to your promises. We look, Lord Jesus, to what you said about these things, Lord, and we claim it. We pray that you would help our faith, Lord Jesus. You would help us to reach up and grab these things, Lord. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just be in the service, Father. Anoint each and every person, Lord. Anoint the musician. Anoint the minister, Lord. And anoint your people, Father. We've come expecting to hear from you, Lord. Now, Lord Jesus, our needs spiritually might be as diverse from the east to the west, Lord. We might have needs that vary in so many different degrees, Lord. But you're still God, and you still have an answer for each one, Father. And we come expecting, Lord Jesus, to be fed spiritually from your word, Lord. I pray that you would help the minister, Lord, to just submit, Father. And help us, Lord Jesus, to get rid of every thought that would hinder us, Father. Just be anointed in this place, Father. Help us to move past this fleshly realm, Lord, and reach into the heavenlies, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much for it. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Brother John. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless all of our brothers and sisters from around the world. If you've lost a ring, they have that for you over in the library. Looks like maybe a birthstone ring. If you have lost that, they have it for you in the library. Also, there's a watch that has been placed on the bulletin board out in the lobby. So if you've lost a watch or a ring, you can find the ring in the library. You can find the watch on the bulletin board attached to the bulletin board out there. Let me just take this time to just very briefly recognize. I'll leave a lot of people out, but you know, Sunday afternoon here, they had a little celebration for Brother James Stamper as he celebrated, I think his birthday was a few weeks ago, but gave him a 95-year celebration. And he was here, and he was in good spirits, and I think he was really concerned and really upbeat about the money tree that was over in the fellowship hall. But all of you that helped, Sister Joy Shantis, Brother Ron, and a host of other people that helped on behalf of Brother Pinky and Sister Phyllis, thank you so much. You made it really, really special for Brother James and the brothers that came and played the music. Just want to take a moment to say thank you for that. That was a sacrifice on your part. So thank you for doing that. Let's sing a song tonight. You know, at times in your life, you're going to get awful weary. You're going to get awful discouraged. You're going to get awful despondent, but you ain't never going to feel like quitting. Because there's something in you that keeps driving you right on and on and on and on. Look at somebody and say, I am driven to be an overcomer. I am driven to be a child of God. I am driven to be a son or a daughter of the King. Is that right? When we get like that, I'm glad for one thing. He is the lifter up of our head. You believe it with all your heart. Give him a big hand clap of praise as we sing it tonight.
trouble me. Many are the demon spirits that rise against me. Many there be would say of my soul, there is no help for you in God. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy Holy Ghost, sustain me.
A song, so if he'll be getting ready, let's sing this this chorus together. I'm gonna leave some glorious morning. Yes, I am. Somebody say praise the Lord. Y'all are looking at me like my hair's parted on the wrong side. Somebody say hallelujah. Give Jesus another big hand clap of praise. My goodness, let's wake up here tonight. Somebody say hallelujah. I should have said my hair's. That's in both of them. Well, praise the Lord. At least you laughed a little bit. I am going to leave some glorious morning. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm going to cross old Chili Jordan. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Well, the water is deep. The river is wide. I'm going to go to the other side. I'm going to leave some crimson day. Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna lead some glorious morning.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
I'm gonna cross old Chile Jordan.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Oh, the water is deep. The river is wide. I'm gonna stand on the other side. Some glorious morning.
Yes, I am.
I'm gonna cross old Chile Jordan.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Oh, the water is deep, the river is wide. I'm gonna stand on the other side.
I'm gonna live in heaven someday. Yes, I am.
I'll say it again. I'm gonna leave some glorious morning.
Yes, I am.
Jordan.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Oh, the water is deep. The river is wide. I'm gonna stand on the other side.
I'm gonna live in heaven someday. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Well, I'm gonna leave some glorious morning.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
I'm gonna cross old Chile Jordan.
Today's the first day of spring. I hope the one I'm looking for don't turn out just like this one did. You'd never know it, would you? Got a terrible throat, but I'm gonna do it. Do it for him. D. Another spring. I don't hear nothing. There it is. I can hear that. In the spring of my life, everything was blooming, pure and white. I run and play through fields of green, listening to the robins sing. Then came the summer of my life, lazy days and starry nights. Thought those days would never end, and I felt that cool September wind. Now I've reached autumn, nights are getting cold, trees are turning red and gold. It's hard for me to realize that I'm getting old. Seemed like only yesterday my hair wasn't gray. But I won't worry about these things. There'll be another spring.
Help me sing it.
There'll be another spring. I'll be young again, 'cause I believe the truth. I'll have eternal youth. There'll be another spring. your time won't mean a thing. There'll be another spring. There'll be another spring. I'll be young again. 'Cause I believe this is true. I'll have eternal youth. There'll be another spring. I'll run again, I'll laugh and sing. In a place where time won't mean a thing. There'll be another spring. There'll be another spring. I'll be young again, 'cause I believe it's true. I'll have eternal youth. There'll be another spring. I'll run again, I'll laugh and sing. In a place where time won't mean a thing. There'll be another spring.
Let's read about it. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. I'd like to speak to you tonight on all things new.
Amen.
All things new. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He shall dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them.
Amen.
And be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be, listen now, no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Amen.
And he that sat upon the throne said, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. You believe him? Can we go now? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we believe these words that we have read tonight. Since they were written 2,000 years ago, they have been read all over the world by different races, different cultures, different colors of people. They've been read in the catacombs. They've been read in hideaway places. They've been read in cathedrals, in tents, in conventions, in camp meetings. Lord God, they're not old to us tonight. And they have not lost their value. We still believe them.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that you would help each of us, that we will be more determined than ever before, that these words will be fulfilled in our lives. Speak to us tonight, Father. I pray from the past, of the great things you have done, for the present, for what you are currently doing, and for the future which lays before us. May you take the consummation of all of this and give us that which we need right here tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Heaven is not a story that, even for many different religions outside of Christianity, that most people comprehend and believe there is a place where when they die that they go to. They are rewarded for what they think they believe, for the God or the religion that they hold true, whether they are Buddhist, Shinto, whatever they claim that they believe. But yet, we know there's something about Christianity that has a different view than all the rest. Amen. The Buddhist, they project it in one way. Islam projects it in another. If you are a martyr and you give your life to blow somebody up, you've got 40-some virgins waiting for you when you get to heaven. But you know, there's something about that that doesn't ring true to the character of our God. You realize once you get there, you're not interested in a virgin. You're not interested in any of that sort of thing. So the whole version of it is warped away from the reality of what heaven would be. But here we find that projected to us from the book of Revelation is something that was actually let out little by little in bits and pieces from the Old Testament. The concept of a new heaven and a new earth was certainly not just new in the New Testament, but God had already mentioned this in the book of Isaiah. He had already mentioned it from the prophets of the Old Testament, and they foreshadowed and said that something would come, even though they didn't have the full scope of the way that John was able to reveal it. But one thing that, as we looked at it last Wednesday night, that as God began to unfold this to John, and he is so enveloped into the vision of what he is seeing, and he saw a new heaven, a new earth, no more sea. And then as we move into verse 3, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Now, look at this and you'll see a view about God's heaven, the heaven of Christianity, which will be totally different from any other view. If you read the Babylonian view of heaven, you read the Assyrian view of heaven, many others, they will have a view. But this one, it conveys heaven, the view of heaven conveys the whole story of what the gospel is about. You see, with all of these men, whether it was Mao Tao Tse-Young or whoever it would be, if it would be Islam, in there you study them long enough and you'll find broken continuity in their thoughts because they are fallible men. You will find things that will cross up, a motive, an objective, something wrong here, something wrong there. But when you look at the perfection of God and you realize there is no mess-ups whatsoever, there's no mistakes in his motives. There's no mistakes in his objectives. So everything that he says and he does, it'll be perfect continuity. He would take 40 different authors to write it over a span of thousands of years. It would come from people in different walks of life, and they never even knew each other. And yet what they said would so perfectly dovetail, it could only be from one author, and that would be from God himself. So in heaven, we will see the very story of the Redeemer. So in this, it will not be something that will be conjured up, which will totally displace something altogether different than the message. Now you look at the Islamic view of heaven, and then you study the message of Islam, and then you see that what they say here and what the end result is over there is nothing nowhere near the same. So you study Shintoism, you study Buddhism, you study all these different religions, which I've done, and you study all this and you see what they project here, what they project over over there and you see something totally different than what the message. But when you study the truth of Christianity and you study the message of the Old Testament merged into the message of the New, and then when you view heaven, you find out it's all saying exactly the same thing. Now watch how John picks up this now in verse 3. Because in this, in verse 3, is actually the merging together of the gospel story. It was projected in the Old Testament in types and shadows. It was revealed more clearly in the New Testament at the coming of the Lord Jesus. But here now, heaven will embody the gospel story without mediatorial ship. It will come to that spot to where that the fullness of the Godhead body it will now end up not in humanity, but in deity. Now watch John as he says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Now watch now, the Old Testament, what does it project? It projects that God wants to come down in spirit form and live in behind a veil in a tabernacle in the wilderness. What does the New Testament project? That God comes down in spirit form and lives in behind a veil of his son, the human body, Jesus Christ. What does heaven project? That God will come down and live among his people. So you see the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the end result of both of those testaments, they all say exactly the same thing. That God wants to live among his people. And then you'll see that when God begins to project this now of what heaven is going to be, that this could not happen in the millennium. This voice could not be said in the 1,000-year reign. This voice could not be said in the dispensation of the church ages, because God in fullness could not dwell upon the earth. This could only happen under the mediatorship of the Son of God. Now once the enemies of the kingdom of God have been totally subdued, then he will turn the kingdom over to the Father, that deity may be all in all. Now watch this. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them. Now remember, in the millennium, he does not come down on the earth and dwell with us, because it is Jesus as the Son of David, but he is still reigning with and amongst his enemies. This kingdom of the eighth day is not when Jesus will reign among his enemies. There will be no enemies in the eighth day. But the mediatorial kingdom runs right on through the millennium. Now listen. There will be people that will be granted salvation, that will be getting saved to a degree. When we say saved, they will be accepting the allocation of mercy that will be offered under that dispensation of the millennium. And if they are being saved, they have to be under what? The allocation, in a sense, of a mediator. So as long as the mediatorship of the Son of God is active, whether in the church ages or in the rapture or in the millennium, then God cannot come down on the earth and dwell among his people. Now watch, here it is after that he's brought in the new heaven, the new earth. What is this verse 3? It is the new order. It is the ending of a priestly order. It is an ending of a sacrificial order. It is the ending of a veil order. It is the ending of the order of time, the order of sacrifice, the order of substitutionary blood, of substitutionary life. It is a new order, where God will come down among his people, and he will once again walk among them, and he will live with them forever through the ceaseless ages. Now notice, God is with them, he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. Now is he with us tonight? He is. By the Spirit of God, he lives in us, right? But is the fullness of the Godhead bodily in this church tonight? It is not. We've got part of it. The folks in Trinidad have got part of it. The folks in Canada have got part of it, in the Congo and Burundi and all the different parts of the world. But here, the fullness of the Godhead bodily will be there hanging above the throne of God, and Jesus will be our Joseph sitting on the throne, and the attribute, the Father God, that great brilliant light, will stand or hang above the throne. Hope y'all ready to have church tonight. Now watch. The meaning is that God will now dwell among His people. The fullness of the attribute of deity will now be allowed to come down and dwell on the earth in this new city. John says that he heard this voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. Now they shall be His people, not saying that they were not already His people, but they were His people and they partially understood who they were. And it was partially revealed. But remember, they come through a world to where the world hated them, despised them, the world did not recognize who they were. But now He Himself is testifying vocally, these are My people. These are Mine. They've been laughed at. They've been wondered at. They have been ridiculed. But as they stood for Me, now I am proclaiming they are Mine. Now what they partially understood in the church ages, what they partially understood of a new birth, now they fully understand and they will fully walk into the manifestation of that blessing because I will be with them. Now God Himself, notice, not the Son of God, not the Son of David, not the humanity by which projected out of the great Creator, but God Himself. God Himself. This can, remember, this cannot be said of the millennium. God Himself will not be on the throne in the millennium. God Himself does not live in you. That person. You. No. None of us here tonight has that person alone. Because if I've got Him, that means you ain't got Him. But I have a portion of His Spirit. You have a portion. You have a portion. You have a portion. But this is Himself we're referring to. Now watch, what will have been revealed partially down through the church ages will now be made known. God Himself shall be with them, permanently dwelling with them. Now remember, without a mediator, without a veil, no substitutionary blood, no substitutionary life speaking for us, but there we will dwell in His presence for eternity. Oh my, thank you Lord Jesus. And He will be their God. Now remember, He said that He would make all things new. But before He can make all things new, there must be things which have been allocated in this element of time, this time frame that we're living in now, to where that those things must run their full course. Now remember that it's not two persons, it's not an old man God and a little boy Jesus and whatever they make the Holy Ghost, but it's attributes that proceeded out of His divine being. And in that is the eternal the expression of God, and in the eternal express Himself in time. Then as He chose to live down through time, the eternal will come right back again and fulfill this slot of time. If you can understand it this way, there was an office given to the body called Jesus, and that office was given to be fulfilled in the increment of time, and once that is fulfilled, then Jesus will actually turn the kingdom back over to the Father. Everybody buckle up your seatbelt, put your crash helmet on, and let's go. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Now remember, this is what Paul said. What we want to look at tonight, by God's help, is the end of the kingdom of grace. Now once as this dispensation will end, it will come to an end. Now listen carefully so you don't get all sidetracked. But He's saying, I'll make all things new. Now we need the dispensation of the kingdom of grace. Even in the millennium, under the reign of the Son of David, it will still be the kingdom of grace because the heathen will be raised. As He said in Psalms 2, ask Me for the heathen and I will give thee to them for thy inheritance. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down to My right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool. So under the millennium, there will still be the kingdom of grace because there will be some that will be granted eternal life and they will go into eternal life. And this is why that God cannot come down on the earth in the millennium until the kingdom of grace has been consummated. Once the kingdom of grace is finished, then time will roll back into eternity that God may be all in all. Now, what's the way Paul says it? Then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and authority and power. Now, watch this.
Then cometh the end. I love the way he writes this. Termination, the limit at a thing which ceases to be. Always the end of some act or state, but not the end of a period of time. The last in any succession or series. Now watch, in order for there to be something new, there has to be something that will end. The old must pass away. Now watch how Paul frames this by the Holy Ghost. He said, then cometh the end. The end of what? The end of what? Then cometh the end. Well, look at the rest of his statement and you'll see what he's talking about the end of. He's not talking about, of course, the end of the bride or the end of all that, but he said, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even our Father. So in order for Jesus, the body, the Son, the humanity, to deliver up the kingdom to the eternal Father, the Logos, the attribute of the fullness of God, there must be an end to what? The mediatorial work that he did on the earth. And that didn't happen in 1963. Amen. As a matter of fact, he'll still be saving folks in the millennium. So those who don't think there's no more mercy, I mean, they're thousands of years off. Now watch, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered. Look at this word now, how Paul uses these words. To give into the hands of another. To deliver to one something to keep when the fruit will allow. Now watch, the kingdom of the grace of God cannot end until the maturity of the fruit will allow Jesus, the Son of God, to turn all back over to that great, powerful white light. Now watch, when is it? When the millennium is over, it's not just that. Whenever there's no more sin, it's not just that. It's when the fruit will allow. Oh, glory. Well, you say, Brother Don, he can kill the devil. He could kill the devil tonight if he wanted to. But that's not what it's based on. The kingdom will revert it back to the eternal when the fruit will allow the turning over of the kingdom. To deliver to one something to keep when the fruit will allow. When its ripeness permits. When its rightness permits. So Jesus will be there. Oh, hallelujah. He will be there in that position until the rightness of the entirety, every human being, whether they are elect, whether they are 144,000, whether they are heathen that is granted salvation in the millennium, he must work that position until everyone's brought in. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. The kingdom to God, even the Father. Now I told you Wednesday night, if you're Jesus only, you're going to have a hard time tonight. Notice, even the Father, when he shall have put down, devil, you stay awake now because I want you to listen what your end's going to be. Don't you go to sleep to me on me tonight, old devil. You listen. We don't even want you to drive out that door. We want to haunt you with these words. When he shall have put down all rule. Look at this word, put. It's hard to believe a little simple word, put, could mean so much. To render idle, unemployed, inactive, all glory, inoperative, to cause a person or a thing to have no further efficiency. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Not me, not you doing this. My Lord Jesus, amen, has put the devil in the unemployment line. Hallelujah. Now notice, when will the Son of God turn this kingdom of grace over to that great, brilliant, shining light? At the end. When all things are new. So you've got a new heaven and a new earth. And then one of the first things that transpires is a new dispensation. For you see, Jesus, in the eighth day, as the Son of David, would not fit. Jesus, as a high priest, would not fit.
Glory to God.
When he shall have put down all rule. Now remember, as Son of God and only Son of God could rule in the presence of his enemies, it would be unbecoming to the attribute of the fullness of God to reign in the millennium in the midst of his enemies. It would be unfitting for the fullness of God to reign in the church now in the midst of his enemies. Because every day you've got enemies all around you. But he made a way under the dispensation of mediatorship in the attribute of the Son of God, baptism of the Holy Ghost, that would be fitting to rule in the midst of his enemies. You understand what I'm saying? It would not be fitting for the eternal to come down and rule in the midst of his enemies, for the eternal to live in your body and have weakness and frailty and all my, all these things that's around us day in and day out and day in and day out. It would be unbecoming to his character. But he can do it in the attribute of Son of God. The humanity of God that was smitten, stricken, and afflicted of God himself. Yes, that will fit. But you cannot take that and place it into the eternal and him sit there and say, Father, have mercy on them. Father, forgive them. Father, have mercy. No longer will he say, Father, have mercy. Hold on, everybody. Because there won't be nobody there needing mercy. There won't be nobody there needing grace. There won't be nobody there needing healing. They'll all be well. Amen. There'll be nobody there that'll need deliverance. There'll be nobody there. Isn't it amazing? Before John goes into the beautiful descriptions of this magnificent city, that he begins the introduction into this bride city with a new dispensation. The eternal. The eternal is back in view. Now watch. Paul, he said, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Under what? His mediatorship. The mediatorial kingdom of the Son of God. Not another God. An attribute out of the great light. The great light did not have a human body, but out of the great light projected an attribute which was to become a human. And under that humanity of God, he would subdue every enemy. But remember, it wasn't always thus. It was not always thus under the mediatory kingdom of the body that the eternal reigned. But the eternal reigned in the form of the great light before he ever projected the human attribute called Jesus. The human part, Jesus, the body, the man, the boy, was not in the eternity in that expression. You follow me? Oh, you say, well, but wait a minute, Brother Donnie, where was he? Well, where do you think he was? Find you and you'll find him. Because you come from the same source. You're brothers. Remember that. You are brothers. Oh, glory. Where was he, Brother Jim? In the mind of God. Out of this great white light came the Logos. God gave birth to a son. So, under the mediatorial kingdom, God can allow people filled with his Holy Ghost to be martyred He can rule in the midst of his enemies and sometimes look like allow his enemies to extinguish their very life on us. How would that be fitting to the eternal? Now unto the eternal, immortal, invisible, only wise God be power and dominion forever and ever. Could not do so. But in the attribute of the Son of God, the meek, humble, lowly Son of God, which could suffer himself, he could allow your body to be filled with that Son of God. And the devil takes somebody, anoint him with an axe in the days of the Romans, in the days of the Spanish Inquisition, in different days where they'd burn your body at the stake. Why? Because the Son of God was reigning in the midst of his enemies. In the millennium, he will still be reigning, and there will be people on the earth that won't want to go to church. Man, if I didn't know better, it'd be some of the folks that come here. Of course, I know better than that because you don't get a second chance. You miss it now, you're lost. Right. So even in the millennium, he will be ruling in the midst of his enemies. And they say, hey, you didn't come up to Feast of Tabernacles. Donnie, go down there and tell them they ain't getting no rain. So he's reigning in the midst of his enemies. But when the millennium is finished, Satan is cast into his place of separation. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The elect will all be redeemed. The foolish virgin, the 144,000, Satan and the Antichrist shall be assigned to their torment. When it's all finished, then the body, Jesus, the Son of God, will be able to turn back to the Father light and say, Father, into thy hands I commit this fruit. You say, what's going to happen to him? Nothing. He's going to be on that throne forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Well, you say, what's the big deal? The big deal is God has accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. And the humanity as it's submitted in the Garden of Gethsemane, the humanity on the new earth, hallelujah to God. As he stood right there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew he was not just submitting once. He knew if he could submit there, he could be an instrument that Father would use and one day submit the kingdom. Don't you understand the same with me and you? We struggle and wrestle with submitting our pride and our strong things. Oh, if we could only learn to surrender, what else could we give to him? So what is it? It signifies the ending of the mediatorial kingdom. The kingdom of grace is now finished. That dispensation ends. Now the rule of the government and the kingdom of the eighth day will now usher in. But not, it cannot, under the old order of Lamb of God, Son of God, High Priest. It must end. If it doesn't end, him holding on to it would show there's somebody in his kingdom, if not more than one, that has not reached perfection. And they still need him. So I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. I thought this wrong. I said this wrong. No way. No way. Not the eighth day. Now watch in verse 25. Paul says, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And remember, it doesn't mean that Jesus is going to stop reigning. Jesus will only stop reigning under the dispensation of mediatorship. No more heathen to be saved, no elect to be saved, no foolish virgin, they're all saved. He will still reign. Glory! but not as he did in the church ages and our hearts. Is he reigning tonight? Is he king of your heart? But does he have everything under his control? Now listen. Don't commit yourself. Don't open your mouth and stick your foot in it. He's king. But he's ruling in the midst of his enemies. He's your healer. But his enemy still has a right to make you sick. Then he'll make you well. And the enemy will still try to make you sick. And he'll make you well. And the enemy will still make you sick. Why? He's ruling in the midst of his enemies. You understand? You see in life. Don't you see why the eternal himself could not do that? It must be in the form of an attribute of humanity. God thought of himself as being a human being. So he must reign. And you think, well, Brother Donnie, wasn't that finished at the beginning of the millennium? No, it wasn't. Because in the millennium, there will be millions of people living on the earth that are not in eternal bodies. They will be raised up and given the choice. The heathen. Because at the end of the millennium, they'll be killed. So if they had eternal body, they couldn't die. So he is still reigning in the midst of his enemies. But he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. What a plan. What a plan. His giving up of the mediatorial kingdom to the Father now. It's simply a switching of administration. It's not that Jesus is going to be, as some message preachers preach, that Jesus will simply be our brother. Jesus will no longer be on the throne. That's a lie. I said that's a lie. He'll always be on the throne. But he changed his dispensations. When he was on the earth 2,000 years ago, he came in the form of a human body under the administration of the Son of Man. You all agree to that? But what was it that came back on the day of Pentecost? Was it the Son of Man or the Son of David? What was it? Son of God. So when you tell me you believe it was a dispensational change of the same person. So he was no longer the Son of Man, right? What was he? Son of God, baptism of the Holy Ghost. According to Luke 17:30, he was supposed to come again in the last days under the administration of what again? Son of Man. In the millennium, he will be Son of David. What is the merging then from the seventh day to the eighth day? Simply another dispensational change with the same person. And if you can understand it, it's a dispensational change of greater dignity, greater honor, and personification of what he was in the beginning. It will prove his work was perfect. It will prove, not in perfect circumstances, not in heaven did he do it, not in a perfect paradise, but in the midst of his enemies. He was able to bring a people that were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come of the world, speaking lies. They had battles every day they lived on the earth. They come through all kinds of traits, all kinds of bad signs, all kinds of things they dealt with. And under his mediatorial throne, he was able to bring them right out of the pits of hell, right up into the gates of paradise, and say, Father, I lay them before your feet. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Every elect will be saved through the Spirit. 144,000. Every devil, every angel, every fallen spirit, every power, everything will be totally consummated at the end of the millennium. Notice in verse 26, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. Glory to God. And if he's accepted, so am I. If the architect is accepted, his building will be. Glory to God. Amen. He is accepted, which did put all things under him. Now watch David in Psalms 110 verse 1. A psalm of David, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Now watch. The Lord said unto my Lord. Now remember, Jesus quoted this when he was on the earth. It confused a bunch of people, and it still does today. He said, who was David talking to? I might ask you the same thing. Whenever the Lord said unto my Lord, who was he talking to? It wasn't two gods. It wasn't three gods. It was the eternal thinking of the attribute of himself. The Lord, the white, brilliant, shining light, which is not a human being, spoke to the attribute of humanity and said, set you on my right hand side until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And then when I have done that, you'll turn the kingdom back over to me and you'll not be on my right side. You'll be in front of me and I'll hang over you like this for eternity. Glory to God. Now watch verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him. Friends, I'm sorry, this is the first time some of y'all ever read this in your entire life. Don't tell me y'all didn't know this is in the Bible. Brother Tony, I've been one God all my life. You don't look like one God to me. You look like a human. Man, this is confusing me. Well, it should if you don't understand it right. I might have to confuse you before I can get you straightened out. Well, I thought I understood the Godhead perfectly. You mean like this? If this is your idea of the Godhead, you don't understand it perfectly. If it's this, you still don't understand it. If it's that, you don't understand it. It's this plus invisibility. But if you leave out the invisibility, you leave out my Father. It's not just this. It's this plus invisibility. And that invisibility chooses to become visible at his own choice. Now unto the only wise God, invisible, immortal, unto the King forever, as Paul said. Now watch, when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son himself. Now remember, keep in mind when we say Son, not another God. An attribute of the one God. Then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him. Now look who's putting. God. The eternal. Now this is perfectly just. This he can do from there. But he couldn't do it on the earth. It would be unbecoming for him to rule among his enemies. But he can project something from himself and let it come to the earth. And from there he'll move and manipulate and control this that's on the earth. And then this will accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. Then this will turn back around and say, into thy hand I commit these children. Now watch, when all things shall be subdued unto him. Now the fact of it is right now, friends, all things are not actually in their full extent subdued unto him yet. That's why we still have funerals, operations, eyeglasses. All of those of you who don't think this is right, I want your glasses laid up on the altar by the time church is over. We'll lead you to the car. All of you take your contacts out. All of you take any helps, any medicines, and all that sort of thing. If you think he's totally under control and got everything completely under his power, I want nobody to walk out of here with glasses on. As a matter of fact, I want nobody to walk out of here old. Remember, the prophet said old age is a sign of the curse. So if he's already, oh yes, about prophetic, I understand all that. But I'm talking about reality. Now watch, it is the Father, the light, who puts all enemies as a footstool for the feet of the Son. Oh, I love the way it does that. So he says, sit down, your son. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit here on my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. How many's got a footstool in your house or had one before? You know what a footstool is, don't you? It's where you put your tired, weary feet. And you sit down and kick back with a big cold Pepsi or iced tea or whatever it is you like to drink. You pop them our feet up on that footstool and say, lay still, devil. Don't move. Lay still, devil. Now this is what the invisible Father said to the visible body, the human temple. He said, set you on my right hand until I make death and sickness and sorrow and trouble and persecution your footstool. And you will raise your feet and set them up on top of that footstool. But when Jesus finally places his feet, which of course is his body, Jesus through his feet, through his body, will be reigning in the millennium. Not just through the headship from Jerusalem, but through his body. And when he consummates and he puts his feet at the end of the millennium upon top, and they rise to come up against the holy city, and holy fire will come down and devour his enemies. And then the judgment will be said, all will be finished. And he sits back and relaxes on the throne and sets his feet upon the footstool of death and sorrow and sickness and trouble. Oh, this feels great. Nobody to die. Nobody to get sick. Nobody to have an ache or a pain. And he says, there's only one more thing left to do. So he gets up, takes his feet off the stool, and he approaches unto the only wise God. That great light. And he says, Father, I lay before you these attributes. Death, sickness, sorrow, persecution. They're all under my feet. And here are the children that you've given me. They are perfect. Glory to God. Now here, he will lay the conquest of a conquered world. Death, hell, the grave, the lost. He conquered every dimension. And he comes and lay that conquest before this great light. Whose illumination will lighten the city for eternity. You realize in that city there's no need of the sun nor the moon. There'll be no electric lights. You think the sun is a powerful source of light? You haven't met my daddy yet. In the brilliance of his generation. Glory to God. Now watch. By the act of supreme sacrifice. In the Garden of Gethsemane. The place of the olive press. Where the olives were crushed.
by that one will, he was able to subdue every enemy. So dispensationally, he walks before this great brilliant light under the dispensation ending as son, mediatorial position. Father, I present the trophies of the kingdom of grace. Oh, glory to God. Now watch, Paul says, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him. So is Jesus going to say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir? No. You've still got in your mind two people. Keep in mind, the sonship is an attribute out of the light. The light is not a man. The light is not a human. The light is a light. So it is the attribute of his own being, glory, that is turning back over into the state of the eternal. What was that attribute expressed in time? You, your soul, whatever you are, Brother Wim said, you was there in the mind of God, but your body wasn't there in the mind of God. Your body, you had no body. We was not little boys and girls around the throne of God, but we were attributes in his mind. Do you believe that? Amen. So you believe you had an individuality, and you believe you come from the mind of God. What'd you come to the earth for? To get a body. What did Jesus come to the earth for? To get a body. Jesus come out of the mind of God. You come out of the mind of God. And we're going right back into the presence of God. Not the mind of God. He don't want me back in his mind. He wants me before him. He didn't want Jesus back in his body. He wants Jesus before him. Oh God. So the mediatorial kingdom was established for the accomplishment of human redemption. Paul says, so the Son also himself shall be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. The commission given to the human body of mediatorial work has been fulfilled. So the commission is finished. You ever go to a notary public, anything notarized? I think Sister Naomi's probably still a notary. Whenever she puts that seal, that stamp there, you know what it'll have? Not only her name, that's important, but it'll also have the date her commission expires. This was signed before me in the presence of so-and-so and so-and-so, whatever more that it says, my commission expires so-and-so and so-and-so. Jesus' commission as mediatorial on the position of the Son of God will expire at the end. Amen. The end of what? The end of salvation. The end of sickness. The end of trouble. The end of a blood sacrifice. You don't need it no more. So what? God gave him this commission, this allocation, to run through a dispensation of thousands of years. So when the redemptive design is completely accomplished, there will be no further need for the purpose. So the purpose will consummate back into the eternal. Watch this in future home. Brother Ben said, the Lord God is that pillar of fire. Friends, tradition puts the Lord God in our minds as an old man on the throne. Amen. You're still not seeing him right if when people talk about God, you're looking at a man on a throne. Amen. An old man. God is not an old man. Amen. The Lord God is that pillar of fire. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Lord God is that pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness. And he is ascended upon the throne in that perfect kingdom. The kingdom that Jesus is to surrender to the Father. That God may be all and in all.
But that couldn't be accomplished without a commission. It couldn't be accomplished without a mediatorial work. Now notice what happens to Jesus. Jesus sits upon his throne here as our Joseph. And the king is that light that will be on top of Mount Zion, and his holy light will flood the entire city. So what was Jesus going to be? He's going to be your husband. He's going to be your king. He's going to be your brother. He's going to be that body sitting on the throne. What was the Father God? He's the light that's shining above the throne. Not another man, an old man with a younger boy sitting there. God is not a man. God is a light. God is light. Is that what the Bible says? Question answer 64, on top of Mount Zion will set the Lamb, and the city will need no light, for the Lamb is the light thereof, and above the Lamb will be the Father, which is the Logos. God, the great light, the eternal light that'll shine just above the throne. What was it that was in behind the veil? The Shekinah that hung between the mercy seat. What was that like? That was his presence. It's the Shekinah. What will illuminate the bride city? The Shekinah. The Shekinah. And there was said Jesus, the human attribute of the Shekinah that was set upon the throne of God. If not, in the eighth day, you just approach a light and you look at the light. The light wouldn't have no eyes. It wouldn't have no hands. It wouldn't have no feet. But God said, I want to be like them. But because I'm all in all, I cannot condescend and change everything that I am into 10 fingers and 10 toes. So I will still remain in this form above my body. Above my attributes. And my children can come up and touch that body and love it and kiss it. Oh, I'm so glad he wanted to do it that way. I'm a human. I want to touch. I was made to touch. I wasn't made to stand afar off and look at a light. I was made to touch what? A body. Do you understand in the study of touch? Tremendous, tremendous study in the sensation of human touch. Several laboratory experiments have been performed. Monkeys, baboons. And they made this form of a female monkey. Wire, put hair on top of it. For where the breasts were to feed it, they put bottles there that was hidden behind them and they would pull the milk out. The monkeys, the baboons that were raised for several months on this dummy mama. Their blood pressure began to change. All kinds of things went wrong. And then all of a sudden they brought a real mama monkey inside there. And they noticed things started alleviating from them monkeys. They noticed even part of their brain, and they started doing research on people who babies were left in a crib and left to a babysitter, were not touched and loved, and they noticed a part about their brain that was not fully developed. A part of the brain that even when they got older, 15, 16, 70 years old, they still could not love right because they were not touched when they were young. Humans were made to be touched and loved. Hallelujah. And God knew in eternity, you'd be standing there looking at him, looking at him, whirling, whirling, whirling around. He said, I don't want that.
I don't want that for them. I don't want that for me.
So out of my mind where they came from, I'll project my own self. I'll project my own self. As an attribute of humanity. I want to be a human too. And then when it's all said and done and the kingdom is turned back over, I'll let them come up and look in my eyes, whatever color his eyes will be, and let them look at my hair and touch my hands. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. above the Lamb will be the Father, which is the Logos. God, the great light, the eternal light. Notice the eternal light that'll shine just above the throne. Now listen to me carefully. Do you realize the body of the Lord Jesus sitting on the throne was not eternal? It had a day it started, but the power of God come on it and changed it into eternal substance. You say, I never heard of such a thing. You better. That's what's fixing to happen to you. Glory to God. Can you imagine sitting right here in this building tonight? No doubt are people that the Spirit of God will come on them and your body will be changed and you'll live in that body for eternity. Yet that body wasn't always there. It wasn't always eternal. But eternal life got such a hold on you by the power of God and the Father's hanging over you. Remember, that's the key. He will change you. You won't have to have a new body every 1,000 years. A new body every 10,000 years. He will change you into that substance of eternity. Lord Jesus. Now watch, so here above the Lamb, now Jesus, the Lamb, the body, the Son of God, so you can relate to it by title, will be the Father, which is the Logos, God, the great light, the eternal light that will shine just above the throne. And Jesus will not be on His Father's throne, He'll be on His throne. And the Father will hover over the Son. The Father will hover over the Son. Now you'll not get this from the Assembly of God. Church got a prophecy, Baptist, Methodist. Took a prophet to bring the restoration of the Godhead back in the end time. Adam Clark, Clarence Larkin, a lot of them guys had a lot of good things to say, but every one of them got the Godhead messed up. Ain't no one of them. I've read the writings. I know what they stand for. Every one of them got the Godhead messed up. But God said, I want my bride in the last days to understand. She's fixing to meet me. I don't want her looking for three when there's going to be one. One plus invisibility. Now watch, the Father will hover over the Son, which the Father and the Son will be one. And while they are yet speaking, I'll answer. And before they can think, I'm thinking for them. That's right. And Jesus will commit a perfect, perfect age to the perfect living God that He has redeemed and give over to the Father. Is that right? Will turn to God the Father, which is spirit, not a man. Spirit. All nature of goodness gathered together. That's God. Now let's look in Revelation 21:4. That Jesus, the mediatorial kingdom, now turned over. That God may be all in all. And John says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Now remember, this can't be said now till after the millennium. Now that the kingdom is turned over. The mediatorial sonship has put all enemies under His feet. God can now say this. Amen. Because when we go up in the rapture and we sit across the marriage supper of the Lamb, we'll be crying. But not in the eighth day. No more tears. Notice this. In the Patmos vision. Think of it. Those eyes were once dimmed with tears of sorrow and pity. Those eyes that wept with compassion at the grave of Lazarus. Those eyes that saw not the evil of the murderers who hanged him on a cross but in sorrow cried, Father, forgive them. Now those eyes are a flame of fire. Those eyes of the judge who will recompense those who've rejected him. I love this. Of all the human emotions he manifested the most when he appeared as the Son of Man, was this one.
He wept often.
Think about it.
Jesus wasn't a shouter. Jesus rejoiced. We don't have no record that Jesus ever danced in the Spirit. We don't have no record that Jesus ever got extremely emotional, maybe the way we do. But of all the human emotions that he could have chosen to express, crying, weeping, was the one he gave vent to the most. So can you imagine when he reaches this change, Brother Dan, to where now he can look at his children and say, no more tears. He understands that feeling. Because he cried and he wept and he cried and he wept. This is not only an accomplishment for you. It's an accomplishment for himself. Not only will you not cry, but he won't either. Lord God. He wept often, yet behind that weeping and that sorrow, there was still God. But notice, John says, God shall wipe all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. This cannot be said in the millennium. For the former things are past. You had no way of knowing when you got up this morning. You still have no way of knowing between now and midnight the sorrow that might strike your home. Terrible accident going down the highway. Your son may be admitted to the ER right now. May die before you'll ever get the news. We have no way as humans knowing what sorrow awaits us from the next moment to the other. Can you imagine how he longs for this hour? When he can stand and make the declaration, no more sorrow. No more tears. No more weeping. No more pain. No crying. And the word there used denotes a cry, an outcry, as in giving a public notice, a cry of tumult, or a clamor, or a cry of sorrow, or wailing. Nobody else wailing. How was this all brought about? By the light projecting an attribute. And as the attribute come from the eternal, it was from the essence of eternity, but it took on the essence of time. As it projected from his great being as the eternal, it took on attributes of time. Conceived in a virgin's womb, was able to die, get headaches, feel pain and sorrow. And through that weakness, he accomplished this victory. That now the eternal can say, there will be no more crying. And he could turn and justly say, because of you. There will be no more death because of you. Hallelujah. You love him? Praise the Lord. Revelation 21:5. Let's stand together. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. You see, he's not only Alpha and Omega in the gospel. He's Alpha and Omega in the city.
John sees, and we'll preview it for just a moment. After he sees the dispensational change, the mediatorial work now consummated, the commission complete. Then John is allowed to go in and peer into the realm of the city. So he set me upon a great and high mountain. And I saw the city, the bride, the Lamb's wife. And I saw a great and high wall. It was actually 216 feet tall, the wall. The beginning layer starts with jasper. The top layer of the wall consummates with jasper. Each foundation is a precious stone. Sardonyx, chalcedony, emerald, topaz. On and on and on. Blues, reds and whites. Greens, yellows, golds, chrysoprase. But yet John says the jasper was clear as crystal. So the jasper that he saw was not as jasper as we know it. Because jasper can be light green, medium green. Some jasper is even purple. But it seems as if though the color that he described was the diamond. Of course, remember, diamonds were not known to them at this time. So as clear as crystal, transparent. And jasper isn't transparent. So can you imagine you've got these foundations? Most foundations, the foundation of this church, most foundations of modern day homes are where? In the ground. But you don't want to have these foundations in the ground. You want everybody to see them. Can you imagine you got all these colors? Blues, reds, whites, golds, greens, amethyst, purples. And you've got this brilliant father shining down this pyramid city, hitting these walls that are 216 feet tall. And these, what are they going to do from the jasper? What does a diamond do? What color is a diamond? It's clear. The most perfect diamond is called colorless. Those of you who study them and you look at them and they rate them according to what they call inclusions. I1, I2, VSCI, VCI, according to the inclusions. But the more clear, the less inclusions, the more perfect, and the more you're going to pay. So a colorless diamond is what all women want, if they realize it. But colorless, but the color can go plumb on down to H and I. It can be a greenish, it can be all that. But yet here, if what is it when you take that diamond and it's cut? What color is it? Is it blue? Is it green? Is it yellow? Clear. But when you hit it right with the right kind of light, where's all them colors come from? From the light. If you imagine as the light comes down this city and permeates these colors, the reds and the whites and the blues and the greens and the golds and the yellows, as they come back up through this city that's 1,500 miles square. Lord Jesus. He is Alpha and Omega. Most great architects put their own name on their building. But this one puts the name of the apostles. Puts the names of the apostles and the names of the tribes of the children of Israel. You imagine them gates, three on each side, north, south, east, and west. If they're spaced apart, each gate would be about 500 miles apart. Don't you see why we're a separated people? Don't you see what a wall signifies, even in heaven? You were a separated people on earth. You'll be a separated people in eternity. It's a boundary. The streets of gold end here. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray together.
Lord Jesus, as I've sat for the last several days studying these things, sharing with Carol, her and I just sitting there weeping and crying. Some of it I couldn't even read. I just had to stop reading and crying because it so moved my heart. This is my home. This is where I'm going. The mother of my heart. Lord Jesus, may there not be a one of us missing that day. And we know the way it's possible is because of the mediatorial work that you have done for us. Lord, how we thank you. We thank you for your grace. May you forgive us of our shortcomings, our failures, our complaints, our grumblings of trials and tests. I wonder, Paul said, the things that we go through in this life are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us in that day. Lord Jesus, I pray, may this city be written in my life. No wonder John, when he heard the voice say, come and I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And when he came, he saw a city. So a city was the bride and the bride was the city. It shouldn't really be a marvel to us since he saw another city in Revelation 17. It was called Babylon. The whore, the mother of harlots. And that great city is that city that ruleth over the kings of the earth, which was Rome. So a woman represented a city and a city represented a woman. So then our home is an epitome of us. The outworkings in our life is an identity of that great city. Help us, Lord. Work through me, Lord Jesus. Work your great gems of mercy. Your manifold attributes of grace through our lives. That we might reach to others, Lord. Don't just save us so we can be saved, but save us so we can help others. Don't open our eyes just so we can see, but help us that we might help others. Grant it, Lord. Heal the sick, Lord God. Strengthen those that are weary. Those that are here in the service tonight at home. Pray for Carol, Lord. I thank you that she's done well. Pray that you just continue to strengthen her, Lord. Sister Donna, Lord Jesus, had surgery and Father having some difficulties. You pray for her tonight. Lord Jesus, different ones with needs. May your presence go back to them, Lord. Once again, display your mighty power. Rule among your enemies. Hallelujah. Rule among your enemies. Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going home. Oh, I'm going soon. Lord God. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I've always been. Hallelujah. Can we raise our hands and sing it together, everybody to him? Sing it, church. I'm going home. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. God willing, we'll be gathered here again this weekend to feast on the unfailing body, word of the Son of Man. To have another component of that which we need to make us ready for this great journey. But if not, if the rapture comes before then, even so come Lord Jesus. If we are taken, if you're taken, or if I'm taken, wait for me across the river. If I'm taken, I'll wait for you. But we will gather again. When this mediatorial kingdom is turned over to Father. And there we will be in eternity. As the brilliance of the light permeates the city. And the colors variegated, as Peter used the word manifold grace. And the word manifold is variegated, meaning diverse, different kinds. As the pearls are hanging there, don't think every one of them is going to be identical. Pearls aren't identical. Each one of them might have a little different hue. Can you imagine a city for thousands of miles looking off at it? And there'll be that brilliance of just a light tinge of green. You realize green and blue are the most pleasant to human eyes. Bright yellows, bright oranges, bright pinks, bright blues. You can look at them for so long, but they can become actually affect your eyes. Look around you on this earth. What color is the sky? How many different colors of blue are there in the waters? There's blues, there's greens. Those of you that's been over the Caribbean, I flew over the Atlantic, I flew over the Caspian, I flew over the different seas and the oceans of the world, the different greens, the different blues. Why would he make it that way? It's for humans. It's human colors. Praise God. God bless you. Let's sing it together as we go. Come expecting the Lord to speak to us again this weekend. Hope you're helped a little bit tonight. Enjoy the service, the word. Go in the fear of God. I'm going home. Oh Lord.
I'm going soon.
We're going soon.
I'm going away.
I've always been home. I bet you saints, I love you, my Lord.
I've always been.
Thank you.